the crowd on its feet. They are absolutely silent.
Wow, harder than I thought. Racing and talking at the same time.
Welcome to World of Motorcycling, covering rider culture and the motorcycle industry with John Davis, Walt Fletcher, and Steve, the producer, Johan.
Welcome, everyone, to another hour of World of Motorcycling. I'm Walt with my co-hosts, John and Steve. We've got a great show lined up for you. We always start this segment off with Inside the Helmet, where we do a ride-by overview of what's happening in the motorcycling industry.
Well, there's a couple things that I came across, but big news for those who follow the boards out there, the custom bike world, and that is that Cyril Hughes, who's had his own blog since, I think, 2012, yep. He is retiring from doing it. It says, due to health issues discovered in 2017 requiring all my attention, I can no longer focus 100% on my riding. The Cyril Hughes post and traveling intensely in the U.S. and abroad. Consequently, I plan to retire and turn a new corner in my life to see what it has in store for me. The future of this site has yet to be finalized. In any case, I will silence my keyboard as of yesterday and hope for a possible transition. So we wish him nothing but the best. Our prayers and concerns are for him, of course. And he has definitely been a board where a blog where people can go and view cool things, find out some industry news, mostly related to the American side of things and custom industry.
Yep.
And people get to voice their opinion here and there. So anyway.
But this time it was updated today.
I was on there today. I left a big thing saying, sorry, you're going away. What's the update? Did it just happen?
They had a thing that they put in that was the fast news, and it came in as of today. So
what do you mean somebody's posting on there?
Somebody's doing something.
Okay. But I don't know if it's him. Maybe he's got
be him, but once again, I don't think he's been doing the whole thing all by himself. He's just been kind of managing it. One thing we discovered is that Harley Davidson has confirmed that Livewire will be on schedule for a 2019 release.
Oh, 2019.
Right now, they're saying, and that, once again, that would be this August-September timeframe, because that's when they come out.
Oh, yes. They always come out the end of the summer.
And it says that they're focusing, it's forcing them to shift its current marketing and branding strategy in an effort to stay relevant and profitable. No model better encompasses this change in direction than the upcoming fully electric Livewire, which Harley just confirmed is still poised for a debut. Okay, and it says a debut sometime in the summer of 2019. So it'll probably be a 20 model.
Yes.
Okay, so.
Because they still got a lot more ramping up. I mean, they ran around, they did their show and tell, and now they're doing it.
Yep.
I mean, overall, Harley has been hit pretty hard from the last several years, and they're trying to make inroads. And this is one more inroad for them to have a different platform. And it is a product that would sell well in China, because especially if it's sized correctly and everything. And although China's not going to even allow motorcycles on their highways anymore, it's just amazing over there. But there's a lot of places that will accept these. So we hope nothing but the best. We look forward to
one of the things they've been talking about is they've been saying that their goal all down the range, wherever it goes to, their goal is a full-scale muscle bike comparable to a current Harley V-twin right now, and a 500-mile range, which would then allow people to go out and, you know, go touring. Just, you know, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to run 500 miles.
Now, did they say that's what they're going to release, or that's their goal?
No. They're releasing what we've seen pretty much, what we've seen with a lot of
which is a shorter range.
It's a little shorter range one and so on. It's probably going to be 125 miles, and it's not going to be that fast. I mean, for Harley, not that fast means it probably won't crack 100. But
So
you know, but at any rate,
it'll compete with the current Zeros and that kind of thing out there.
It will be that basic kind of a thing.
But we've talked to like our friend last week, Kirk Taylor, and the idea of building a – I really think there's a – build a big cruiser style
right.
with a bigger, beefier engine and double the battery. So you basically
right.
pull off the first, and then once the first section of batteries are down, up to 10% left – it switches over, and now you got the dual life. So now you could say a dual life electric cruiser.
Right.
So now it goes 250 miles rather than 125 miles. And if you wanted the full torque where you hit the massive
then
engine, it drops down, and then you got
yeah.
the really, you'll beat anything on the road. But the fact is, then your yeah. amperage goes down. Now, do they do that with the Teslas too? Do you have like different? I have not checked out, but
my understanding is that the ones that were so famous, the really fast Teslas,
one. The one that Jeff
that
Nicklaus
it does
has got.
Not it basically you get mileage on it. In other words, if you're going fast,
right,
it's still how many miles?
Because you know the new Dodge Demon with the 700 some odd horsepower. You've
yeah.
got two modes. You've got the red key and the black key. They got the hell key at the same thing. Red key, black key. One's race, one's regular. And
yeah.
you better go get the 100-octane gasoline for
yeah.
the race. And you're not
yeah.
getting any gas mileage. But on the road, you will. So speaking of cool retro things like the Demon and that kind of thing, Kawasaki's all-new Z900RS Cafe motorcycle, produced in limited quantities for 2018, adds a classic front fairing, step seat, black low-rise handlebars, nostalgic Z900RS, adding another inspired design to the Kawasaki lineup. So if you look at this, Walt, I've got a picture here. There is the brand new one at the top, and there's a 1975. Do
yeah.
they not look a lot alike? That's their idea. Now, they
yeah.
got the modern technology, but
yeah.
they've gone with what I would call, that's a bike. That's a
yep.
motorcycle right there. That's
right.
what I look at.
Yep.
And they've done a really good job of pairing the old style with the new, so you've
yep.
got the retro and better handability. But I
well,
like
once
it when
again,
you see that.
Cowie is starting to get a reputation for cruisers.
Well, they've had that. You like to say that.
I know.
They've had it. But
that's what I'm saying is they...
Well, Star's no longer part of the game. Yamaha Star. They're
right.
gone.
And that's upsetting to our buddy Warren Fossum because
right,
he loved
was,
them.
Yes,
they,
he did.
They've now rolled it in, and you've still got some.
Yeah,
there
Warren.
There is our music. We'll be right back with more of World of Motorcycling.
Hey everyone, Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. where we'll be waiting for you.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times, 51, 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377. Where we have helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, a law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? you greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the second segment of the World of Motorcycling. Walt, Steve, and John's not here again tonight. For more about the show, visit worldofmotorcycling.com. We like to start this segment off with candid conversations where we spend time with the movers, the shakers, the pioneers, the speed freaks, the customizers, the rebels within the motorcycling world. And tonight we have a great guest on with us. His name's Dale Waxler, owner of Wheels Through Time Motorcycle Museum, host of Dale's channel. He is a longtime vintage motorcycle buff and motorcycle historian with a passion for keeping the history of motorcycling alive. For more, visit him at www.wheelsthroughtime.com. So how's it going down there, Dale?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. It's been a while, and we thought it would be great to bring you back on, because when we were doing the Hog Radio show, we had you on a couple times,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, a couple of times.
Maybe two or three.
That's where we actually got to know him, was in the middle of the camera.
Yeah, I was just thinking, when we got to know you because we were interviewing Buzz Cantor during the Cannonball, and you were going by, and he said, hey, and he shoves the phone to you, and we got to talk to you, so...
I well remember that Cannonball. That was a good one. That was quite an event. That was 2010, by the way.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Oh man, yeah, we've known you for a while then. So that's great. And
eight years ago, we raced from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to Santa Monica, California. Buzz was on a 1915 Harley single or twin, excuse me, and I was on a 15 Harley twin. And we had a kind of a 3-man team, and it was really quite an event. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, they're actually going to do one this summer, and you and I were talking off air, but you're not planning to hit this one, are you?
No, won't be on this Cannonball, although currently at Wheels Through Time, Frank Westfall, who won the Cannonball last year on his 1912 Henderson, has left that bike on loan for a few months at Wheels Through Time, so it's really quite a spectacle to see what's called a round tank first year Henderson, and something that's accomplished so much. You know, that Cannonball race is a long, enduring race, and 1912 on a single speed, a one speed, four cylinder motorcycle. So,
yep.
It's a great hot spot at Wheels Through Time right now.
Yep.
Well, what would be the top speed of that? Because it's a single speed, you're only going to gear up to so far, and then you're going to be pretty much maxed out because of your gearing, correct?
Yeah, 40. I think that machine would be probably about 50 miles an hour. I've got a single-speed 1915 Harley, and it'll run 80. You know, a Harley board track racer or any board track racer is a single-speed motorcycle. So, depending upon the gearing, you can make a single cylinder go 100 if you have the horsepower and you got the gearing.
Yeah, you can get it started. If you got a big gear, it may be a hard time getting it started, wouldn't it?
Well, you, taking off is with tall gearing is a problem, and certainly low speed and hills don't get along. So
no,
yep.
the Henderson, you know, has a nice balance of the four cylinder engine, and he went. I can't remember the name of the pass they went over. It was in Montana, I believe, and he said that bike went right over that pass, 12,000 feet, no problem.
Wow.
A pretty remarkable achievement for, you know, a bike of that age.
Now, Cannonball actually is more about being able to get there at all, right? I mean, you're not...
Well, there's a lot to be said about that. You know, the old race, car race called the Great American Race.
It, yes.
You know, the motto was to finish is to win. And there's a lot to be said for going all the days and getting all the miles and getting all the points. But, you know, in the end, it comes down to the competition side of it. Somebody's got to win, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing. And you know, that kind of brings me to the whole idea of your museum. For those who are not familiar, tell people where you're located, by the way, and what your...
The museum is in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. That's the mountains of western North Carolina. Everybody's heard of Tale of the Dragon. We're about an hour and a half from the Dragon. So this is a real hot spot. About 200 people a day stop Wheels Through Time and check out the machines. But what I know where you were going. The real or one of the many real aspects of Wheels to Time is the fact that everything is in operational condition, and we run bikes every day.
Yes.
A great example, right now what I have kind of gassed up and going, and I'll kind of run through some of these. Right now I'm keeping my 1912 Pope made in Westfield, Massachusetts alive. I'm running it every day. I run a Henderson every day. I run an Ace every day. The 15 Harley 3-speed, been cranking it up pretty regularly. I just got a 1919. Actually, I've had it about 6 years, but I just got it running. It's been parked in 1928. I hadn't run it. It hasn't run more than a dozen times since 1928, so I'm just going through the starting of that bike. And that's just, every time I start that thing up, I get a chill.
Oh, yeah.
A time capsule of a bike. And my a new bike to the museum, which is a 1909 Harley-Davidson prototype with a V-belt drive and a magneto ignition. And I really describe it as probably one of the oldest running Harley-Davidsons in the world, 1909.
Yes.
There's maybe only three or four Harleys that are older that may run. There's only about six 1909s or eight, six or eight 1909s known. So, and there's actually going down in their years, you know, my friend Bruce Lindsay has a 1905 that he runs. He rode it, in fact, from Ohio to Milwaukee for the Harley 100th anniversary. That was quite a thing, that tribute that he did years ago. So keeping the old bikes running is important. And, you know, there's nothing more amazing than the look on somebody's face when you crank up a, you know, 100-some-year-old motorcycle.
Yep.
I wanted to sidebar for a moment. You know, I started collecting about 50 years ago. And 50 years ago, there weren't any 100-year-old motorcycles. And there's a lot of, you know, I have dozens and dozens of 100-year-old motorcycles because, you know, you go all the way up to right now, you know, 1918. And so a 100-year-old bike is less rare than it used to be because we're getting older every year. But it's still amazing to take a 100-year-old piece of iron, and especially one that has not been taken apart since it was put together 100-plus years ago. That 1919, for example, you know, it's never been apart. So to run that bike that's never been taken apart and hear how it was built, it's just an amazing. I kind of talk fast and rattle on because I know we have a lot to get in. But on our Wheels Through Time Facebook page, which is a very popular page, Bill Redenzel, who you might know from the Harley-Davidson Museum, just posted he and his team of three came to Wheels Through Time a couple months ago, and we recorded the sound of these old running motorcycles for their engine wall. And they had a lot of sounds recorded, but there was three or four bikes they had or could not get a hold of that were running examples, so they came to Wheels Through Time.
Right.
And so on the Facebook, you'll be able to see that 1909 prototype run.
Wow.
Bill from Harley is there recording the sound. The other bike that we did is a 1920, the Harley W model, which is a flat opposed, like a BMW. It's like a Douglas. The cylinders run front and backward.
Oh, and yes.
You won't hear one of those run. You got to go a long way to hear one of those run. And then we ran the very famous 1937 Flathead 80, and they're not that particularly rare, but, you know, where are you going to hear one run?
You know, that's the difference, as I was going to say. Yep. There are these bikes out there, but they're not running. They're parked. And what is a unique thing about your place, your museum, is that these are running motorcycles.
Yep.
That is correct. We're very proud of the fact that everything is kept running, and people can come in any day of the week and get a lecture or a tutorial by one of our, you know, I keep generally three docents on the floor all the time to answer questions, plus myself and my son Matt is involved at Wheels Through Time.
Yep.
But there's always a good explanation and somebody to talk to, and I don't let everybody that works there start my bikes. I have several people that have the ability to start some bikes, but I'm on the floor and starting bikes, you know, every day.
Yep.
You know, I just find it an amazing thing. And you, like you said, you started 50 years ago. You had a dealership there for a while, and then you sold that, and then you just poured your I've known a couple other guys. There was a fellow, White, and I forget his last name, but he was a racer, and he was a collector in Southern California of motocross bikes, and he just passed away last year. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, I'm not familiar with him.
Okay, it'll come to me.
Oh,
but
yeah, well, yeah, White, yeah, White, yeah, White Brothers Equipment. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a real enthusiast. He had been in the industry for, you know, a long, long time.
Yep. And unfortunately, he died young. But he had, because I was going to go down and see his place the next time I went to California, because I had an invite. And then it's like, oh man, you know. And
where are you located?
Seattle,
just north of.
Yeah, you're a long way from North Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, we've got a large quantity of really old bikes, particularly Harleys, in downtown Seattle, because Dave Eady, who's one of the Seattle Cossacks, has his own museum. And if you ever see the Seattle Cossacks, I think, what is the latest one they've got? Some 47 or something like that?
Yeah.
They're
something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got an open invitation. I got to square away a day and head down there and go hang out with him, because we had him on a few weeks ago, and then I talked to him off air, and he says, yeah, come on down, Steve. And so he's actually doing really well. So
yeah, they put an amazing show on.
They do, and he's just got his own little museum, and they had the American Pickers come through there, and they did a little episode. I'm sure you should have the American Pickers. Maybe you have. Have they come through your shop?
Yeah, we did several shows on the American with Mike and Frank.
Yeah.
And one was I built an engine for him show, and I think we did one on the four-cylinder Indian little car, the belly tank car, was a popular show.
Yep.
And then, of course, within a year, we had our own show called What's in the Barn on Velocity.
That's right.
We had followed up with 1 year on the History Channel with American Restoration. And that was a real privilege to be able to work with the History Channel and to be able to bring the talent that I love to the screen. And I think on that series, there was 8 restorations that were done, and pretty remarkable bikes we did. And it was a real challenge.
Well, hang on there, Dale. I got a break in. We got our break coming right up, and I want to hear more about your challenge there. So hang on, guys and gals, and we're going to be right back with more of the show and Dale Woxler and the Wheel Through Time Museum.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, all you guys and gals. The next time you're hankering for a trip down memory lane, we recommend a visit to our Older Than the Hill Chateau de Smell Resort in Boondocks, Idaho, where the rooms smell like week-old cigarette smoke and month-old beer. Every weekend during the summer months, we feature our Old Maid Punker Run, Gooder Trash Clam Bake, and Big Ted's Keg Toss. And don't forget our complimentary Bloody Mary morning appetizers to chase away those late-night reveries. Sure enough, when you want to travel back and enjoy those old biker smell, then come to stay at Chateau de Smell, where our two mascots, Pit and Bull, will greet you at the gate, and where we never leave the lights on, because hey, after all, we're going green. Chateau de Smell, because nothing beats the old days of smoky bars, stale beer, and crap on the carpet than a visit to Chateau de Smell. And for those who don't know how to spell Chateau de Smell, that's okay. We made it easy for you. It's smellit.com.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
You could crack a chrome crown nut, make a hardtail go soft. The compression in my engine.
Welcome back to the third segment of our show where we continue our candid conversations. If you want to participate in the show, make sure to visit our Facebook page where you can make comments and contact us. So we're talking to Dale Waxler, who's the owner of Wheels Through Time Museum, Motorcycle Museum, and host of Dale's Channel. He's a longtime vintage motorcycle buff, motorcycle historian, with a passion for keeping the history of motorcycling alive. For more info, visit him at www.wheelsthroughtime.com. So,
and when we left off, you were talking about the challenges of doing the show with the History Channel. Talk to us about that.
Oh, yeah. The history came to me with the idea about this reinvention of the show called American Restoration, which everybody had watched for years with Rick Dale out in Las Vegas, restoring jukeboxes and Coca-Cola machines. And
right.
When they first approached me, they had no idea really what the show was going to be about. In other words, it was a pilot that actually came to fruition much quicker than anybody thought it would. And because it had the years of experience on restoration. And so immediately they were in a quandary for what the hell I was going to restore. And I'm going, well, I have all these bikes that I'm doing. Why don't we do one of these? So I kind of had to twist them around a little bit to get it. And, you know, there was the 46 knucklehead, a 55 panhead that was gorgeous. I did a 28 JDH for American Iron Buzz. That was a great bike. Then there was a Harley 45. It was just a whole kind of a very well-rounded group of Harley-Davidson motorcycles that ranged in years. So the programming came out great, and the crew that did the filming were really wonderful to work with. We really had a great time. The executive producer, I think his name is Mike Piscatelli, was so focused. He was just a pleasure to work with. The camera and sound crew were great. It was just the New York scripting people that had to be tweaked a little bit. It took some time. But, you know, in my experience in making television goes back probably about 11 years ago. I started Dale's Channel, which originally was called The Time Machine. But if you go online to Wheels Through Time, check out Dale's Channel. I produced over 550 shows. We produce a new show every week. And now the one thing I want you to know, you're not going to go and get all that stuff for nothing. There is the monthly cost to do that, which supports the Wheels Through Time Museum.
Yep.
And the programming is extraordinary. We have a one group. It's actually like a little mini network. We have a group of shows called These Old Bikes, which is an interesting tutorial on rare bikes in the museum. We have this thing we call Real School, which takes you back to the shop. And I think last winter, we have 5 or 6 bikes programmed, the restoration of which from front to back, including an incredibly rare hill climber, just some fabulously rare motorcycles. And you can watch the bike be restored in a very professional bike. Some people say better than television programming. And check out Dale's Channel. And as the young ones say today, it's the bomb.
Well, you know, it's funny because you're doing exactly what I dreamed about doing eons ago, which was do a this old bike kind of patterned after this old house, where you're not doing it in one episode. You're actually doing it over a period of time to showcase the fact that this isn't something you do in a half an hour. This is something that takes weeks of time and loving care and all the things that go into it, the parts, the pieces, maybe even do excursions off to where somebody's making aftermarket parts or something. And it sounds like you've done that, and people like that.
Oh, yeah. Program, there's 550 shows in the archives. That's an incredible archive.
Yeah.
It certainly is. And of course, the monthly fee includes access to the archives, of course. But you'll never watch them all. and one new show every week. Currently, we're programming the bringing back to life of a 1913 Harley. I think next week we do a three-part show, 3 weeks on bringing back to life this that incredibly rare 1919. So as we bring these bikes back to life or to life at Wheels Through Time, we video document that, goes on Dale's channel, and now we have a digital archive to the history of these old machines.
That's great. You know, that's like my old show. We had 10 years and 500 episodes of audio history, and I'm going to be pulling those up and doing something with them here in the future where I can resurrect, because we've got interviews of just historical figures. Some of them are even dead now, of people that you can't get that anywhere else. So it's like, that's a valuable commodity. So maybe you and I will talk off air about we'll partner up on that. So,
well, one of the things that we used to do on our previous show was we would talk a lot about, why are you doing this?
Well, and that's what we can talk right now. Why are you doing this?
That's right. What are your motivations? What are you know?
Oh,
and I think shows don't do that.
Go ahead, Dale.
I'm so used to doing what I do, which is the preservation. You know, I've been doing this for 50 years. It's really all I know. And, you know, I've been a very blessed and lucky person to find the bikes that I have found, you know, within the confines of Wheels Through Time is probably the best collection of rare motorcycles in the world. So when it comes down to American motorcycles, you know, I guess the other thing about Wheels Through Time we didn't talk about is the collection is all American. But, you know, probably the most important motorcycles in the world, the American Dirt Track collection is second to none. The Hill Climb collection from the heyday of hill climbing, you know, I think I found the rarest ones in the world, and the board trackers are equally rare. And then there's various galleries packed full of rare bikes. So a gallery that I'm extremely proud of is the Founders Gallery. And within that gallery are the motorcycles that were built and owned by the inventors of the motorcycle. And I'm talking about Oscar Hedstrom, who invented the Indian, you know, he really invented the motorcycle.
Yes.
I have Oscar Hedstrom's personal motorcycle in original condition. I have Will Henderson's personal Henderson.
Wow.
Several years ago, I've got William Ottaway, who worked for Thor and made Thor quite famous, built the Indian engines, as a matter of fact, from 1903 to 1907. William Ottaway was hired by Harley-Davidson in 1913, and William Ottaway is primarily responsible for making Harley-Davidson's go. You know, the racing department, that was all William Ottaway. And I have William Ottaway's personal Thor motorcycle. It's a one-of-a-kind Thor. It's got motor number 2, a certain designation, a Model U engine. And that group of motorcycles, and they're all gathered in one little cubbyhole in the museum. There's probably about 14 of them, including the Traub, you know, the bike that we've talked about, the bike that was found in the bricked-up wall. But all of those bikes reside in one of the galleries at Wheels Through Time. So the fact that they all run is important, but the other fact is it probably is the best collection of rare bikes in the world.
Now, I got to ask you, how have you come across and how have you been able to get your hands on some of these? Talk about Founders bikes. And so how did you do this? Because, I mean, that's not something you can easily do.
No, everyone has a story. You might have three 1936 prototype Harleys. They might have built 8 of them. I've got numbers 2, 3, and 6. And how did one person end up with 3 of the 8 built and the only 3 known? I don't have an answer for that other than I have been extremely blessed to put this collection together. You know, the 1909 that I talked about earlier, that prototype, the way I came across that is just uncanny. The 1919, same story. Oscar Hedstrom's prototype came from Easy Russ up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is another, you know, stories that we tell in the museum. We don't have time to tell them all right here on the radio. So that gives you a reason to come to Wheels Through Time, hear a story, and hear a bike run.
Yep. You know, it's an amazing thing, and so where do you right now? What is your main source of locating these bikes? Have you got such a? For 50 years you've been doing this. You are like the go-to.
Yeah, I'm not. Let me say this. I'm not looking for anything right now. I have so many motorcycles, it's ridiculous. So I'm actually not – I've added three bikes to the collection in the last 6 months, but I'm not actively looking for anything. There's nothing that the museum needs. I have a lot of my galleries full of the of these rare bikes, and, you know, those collections are – Wheels Your Time is relatively complete. When I was in the workshop, I probably have a dozen that I'm building right now, but there's nothing I'm looking for, and I don't have any other answer than that.
Well, no, what I'm saying is – That you have located them because people know who you are and they say, Dale, here's I found this. What, are you interested? That's how people get a hold of you on that?
Well, everyone's got a story. You know, I answer those same questions every day, so I'm not trying to be short on the answer.
Oh, I got you. What you're saying is
every bike has a unique story.
You're right.
How I got
you're right.
It. That's a real part of the beauty of Wheels Your Time. It's not a collection of cubic dollars. It's a collection of a lot of passion and a lot of love that focused on rare American motorcycles and was successful, you know.
And you probably have, anywhere possible, you have images and photographs and written histories and stuff to go along with it so people can walk through and read this stuff as it as
I think, yeah, the memorabilia collection is probably second to none also. And
yep.
There's stuff in every cubby hole. So, you know, check out our website, check out our Facebook, buy Dale's channel, listen to Hog Radio, and come visit Wheels Through Time. Put all that on your bucket list, and we'll be happy campers.
Yep, World of Motorcycling now. So that is great. And so what I want to do is we do have a couple more minutes. So your son's been very active with you, and how long has he been working with you on this?
Oh, you know, Matt's been around from the beginning, and we've done a lot of things together over the years. We've, you know, built bikes and raced bikes, and he's actively involved in doing part of his own thing. Is he has an engine shop and his own workshop at home, and he has really mastered the art of building Harley engines from the teens into the 20s. He's been racing, which I'm not that happy about, those machines at Davenport. He also raced, I think he's won the Race of Gentlemen 3 years in a row. And then he's been racing that Sons of Speed race in Florida
mm-hmm.
on those early things. So, yeah, Matt's become quite an accomplished rider and a builder.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is just wonderful. You know, that's the nice thing about having a passion and seeing your son pick it up and love it just as much. And then, like you said, he's kind of branched off and working on engines, and he's really picked up the racing aspect, and that
right.
may be a little hair raising for you, but that's what he loves doing right now.
Right. Hey, one thing else I wanted to mention also, we got another minute here.
Yes.
Is every year our largest fundraiser that keeps Wheels Through Time alive is our annual raffle. And every year I build a particular motorcycle, primarily knuckleheads, which are pretty hot right now. And right now we're giving away, you can go on Facebook and look at it, go to the website and look at it, a 1936 Harley Davidson knucklehead done in blue and cream, and it is one of the prettiest bikes, runs great, drove it yesterday. You can buy a raffle ticket for $10, but I highly recommend if you go online, if you get the 7 tickets for $50, you get a free t-shirt and one of our DVDs, and we mail that to your door. So it's the raffle that gives back. When you buy raffle tickets, you get something for your purchase, and there's really no raffle like it in the world. So go to wheelsthroughtime.com, check out the 36 knucklehead, and I'm pretty proud of that motorcycle. It's, of all the 15 raffle bikes we did, I think it's probably the best one.
Well, you know what? We're going to I'll work to take that, and we'll post it on our blog, and we'll post it on our Facebook as well so that people
hey, that
can
would be, I would really appreciate
yep.
that if you could put the raffle bike on some of your medias.
Yes, I will. That'll be great. I've got a couple different outlets we can do that with. And this is wonderful. And Dale, as usual, you are a wealth of knowledge, and it's you covered a lot of ground, so
yeah.
I didn't even have to ask you a lot of questions because you've been down this road so many times. And again, it's wheelsthroughtime.com, and check them out. And are there certain days you're not open during the year?
Yeah, we're closed. Well, we're closed in the wintertime from the end of November till April 1st.
Great.
And
okay.
Closed, and most importantly, in the summertime, we are closed on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Very good. So, folks, go to
don't
the Wheels.
Show up, don't,
Go ahead.
Don't show up in the middle of the week. You won't get in.
Yeah, so go to the website. It'll tell you all this. You don't want to show up unannounced because he's probably not going to be there. And
on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We will not be there.
That's right.
Not probably. We're closed.
Well, Dale, thanks so much for being on with us. And we'll put a link of everything on the podcast so that everybody can find more about you. And, again, we're going to post more information about your raffle bike because that's coming up. And thanks so much for being with us.
November. Also, for people that are near the area, this weekend, the Wall of Death is here. Memorial Day weekend is always big at Wheels Through Time. Not this weekend, the following weekend. And check out the Wall of Death. Come to Wheels Through Time. Guys, listen, I'm going to run. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Dale. Okay. You have a great night.
Yep.
Okay, we'll see you later.
All righty. Bye-bye. Well, that was Dale, and it was wonderful to have him back on help him on for the first time on the show. So, guys and gals, we'll be right back with more. We got our, we got some safety tips, and we got some things behind that we've seen out on the road and more. So, hang with us. We'll be right back.
I saw the road ahead. It was a long and winding trail. I saw a chance to lead.
Hey, everyone. Steve Johan here, producer of the World of Motorcycling show. If you have any interest in what's happening in the automotive world, then I invite you to listen to a really cool show called Horsepower Chrome and Rust, where we cover car culture and the automotive industry. Horsepower Chrome and Rust is a fast-paced weekly podcast featuring Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and me, Steve Johan. You can hear the show at horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com, where we'll be waiting for you.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Do you suffer from gastrointestinal anguish after eating spicy foods at your local Mexican restaurant? Do you suffer outrageous amounts of flatulence after eating greasy foods at your local fast food joint? Do you suffer from acid reflux after ingesting copious amounts of alcoholic beverages at your local drinking hole? Then call the law offices of Ambulance and Chaser at 1-800-782-5377, where we've helped thousands of so-called victims just like yourself. If you call us today at 1-800-782-5377, we'll make sure to send you out our free guide, The Top 20 Medical Issues Most Likely to Be Sued Over. But act today, because the longer you wait, the less chance you have to win your case. Remember, you don't have to suffer any longer. Instead, call us at 1-800-782-5377. The Law Offices of Ambulance and Chaser, making the most out of your misery. Please be advised, the law firm of Ambulance and Chaser is not licensed to practice law in all 50 states and may be called into question by the federal government for questionable practices, but hey, that's okay. You knew that already, didn't you? You greedy sucker.
Welcome back to the fourth segment of our show. This segment, we like to start things off with Between the Lines, where we share a weekly safety tip. So do we have a weekly safety tip?
I have something
John?
Here because John's not here, but I have some information here I wanted to cover. And I am frantically looking for that information. Not too frantically, but okay. Lessons from the classroom. I've kind of titled this Lessons from the Classroom because yesterday was Tuesday, and my son, Timothy, who's 15 years old, is now entering into the driver's zone. So he went, he signed up for Washington Motorcycle Safety Training, the automotive side of things, through our friend Chris Johnson.
Yep.
And he was down at the high school. So for the first day, I had to go down there and sit in on the first hour's worth of the show. And what I discovered here was a few things. Is I didn't realize this, but the year before last, actually, for a number of years, the deaths in America were going down. Last year, they went back up to 44,000 people died on the roads. That's both motorcycle, car, truck, anything on the road. Let me ask you a question, Walt. What percentage of these accidents could have been avoided?
Well, according to the safety, the Department of Transportation, at least the last one I read, 54%, they said, would not have happened or would have been less serious if the motorcyclist had just maintained control.
Okay. Well, when we're talking cars, 100%.
Yep.
And here's why. If you are consciously paying attention to what you're doing, your eyes are constantly scanning ahead.
Yep.
You are not operating out of fear, but out of calmness.
Right.
You've built up those skill sets. That split second, that dog, that ball, that bike comes out in front of it, you
right.
are able to throttle it down very quickly.
Right.
If you have to get around a car. Now, what do we
and
always
if
learn?
If you're in a car, but you're a motorcyclist, you'll do better than anybody else because you're used to doing that.
That's right. Because you say, here's the thing.
Where's the guy trying to kill me?
Wherever you you look to where there's nothing in front of you, and that's
right.
where you need
that's
to be turning
you
yourself.
Go. Yep.
So I thought 100%. And they had this really interesting thing. They did a little video, and they were saying, so how many people do you think die every year on the road, blah, blah, blah? And it was all over the place. How many do you think you should be able to die on the road? Well, you know, maybe 100, maybe a few thousand and stuff. Now, how many people in your family should be none? None. 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 Okay, so how many people need to be died on the road? None. That's right.
Right.
Zero. We always think about the other person until it happens to be a friend of yours who dies.
Yep.
Or a member of your family who dies. And we don't think that way. We're always thinking, that's the other guy. It's the other guy. You know what? It's everybody. We can reduce, you know, 50%. Here it is. 50% of all driving accidents, whether it's motorcycle or automobile, truck, blah, 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 has to do with impaired driving. I know, guys and gals, that listen to this show. You like to go to the bar and have a couple brewskis. I get that. Hang out a little longer until you sober up.
Yep.
Don't be out there riding a motorcycle where you're buzzed.
Yep.
Because you can die. You can kill other people. And that is not something we want to have happen. We want you to be around for the next 10 years as
right.
we're doing
so
our show.
Keep listening to us.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, we're selfish. We want you to listen to this show and tell your friends.
So this goes along with my scene out on the road is another thing here. This is not one that I saw, and luckily I didn't see him until he got bandaged up because I didn't want to see all that old crap. But I have a friend who was out on his motorcycle, and he had his, I think, girlfriend on the back, and he got a little too wide in a turn and went off into the gravel. And so on the right is a ditch, and he figured that's not going to be good if I go there. So he was trying to get it back into the onto the road, and as he did, he dug his wheels into the gravel, and it like launched them. Now his girlfriend had all the gear on. You know what I always say, ATG, ATT, all the gear, all the time. Okay, he didn't. He had a t-shirt, and when he was done, he didn't have a t-shirt because it was gone, and he had just slid down, and he was in terrible shape. Well, people talk about it. He says, it's just too hot. It's just too hot. And so I gave, this was on Facebook that I saw this, and I told him, I said, okay, I have a Kevlar.
This is a friend, though, of yours, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said, I have a Kevlar mesh jacket, and if you're moving, it'll feel cooler than your t-shirt, probably. And if you stop, it warms up a little bit, but you don't stop that long at any given moment. But it's just cool. But if you come off that bike, that mesh, that's everything is blowing right through, is Kevlar.
That's
it
right.
It will not get to you. It's better than leather or anything. Well, he went out and he got one and he was amazed. Thing cost him $175.
Yep.
Mine would have been $175, but I had like all kinds of gift cards and stuff that people had given me, and so I got it down to about $85 or whatever. But at any rate, he's got one just like mine. It's this year's model, different colors, whatever. But he's amazed, and he's going, I wish I had this. I said, yeah, But he went out and he wrote it, and he said, this is just as cool as anything. So, guys, remember, all the gear, all the time. And if you think it's too hot, get Kevlar mesh. And if you think Kevlar mesh is too expensive, think about sliding down the pavement with nothing but skin. It's not too expensive.
No. And you've slid down the road. I've hit the pavement.
Right.
And I've been suited up, and it was nice to hit that, yep. Banged up my arm, but it didn't. And
when I went down, the only thing I kept out of all of it was my helmet. Because when somebody talks about, a helmet, I whipped that thing out, and I'm going, my head was in that.
That's right.
And, I mean, it's ground down where I slid along and so on. And you're thinking, okay, now my face would have been on the pavement were it not for that.
That's right.
Okay? And so,
having been there, done that, you don't want to go through that again.
That's it.
Now, I did come across, we'll shift gears real quick. Yamaha, first quarter in, says first quarter of the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2018, were 405 billion yen, an increase of 19 billion yen over 5.1% same period previous year. So operating income 41 billion. Now that's interesting. I says first quarter, but ending in 31. So I guess that was fourth quarter because that doesn't make sense. Anyway, the last quarter they actually were doing well. They weren't up 5%. So good for them. And then, for those who are heavily involved with following snow competition, snowmobile, Tucker Herbert today announced that he has reached the finish line of a remarkable 25-year career. The 33-year-old from Pelican Rapids, Minnesota, is now officially retired. 33. He started as just a tyke, and he's been racing ever since. But that's how a lot of these racers are. They start out as little tykes, and they go for 25 years. They hit 33, and it's time to hang it up.
Well, here comes our break. Don't go away, because we have a really close security question coming up next.
What comes to your mind when you think about motorcycle riders? The first picture that comes to my mind is a road warrior. A road warrior is someone who has a passion for life and adventure, who willingly pits themselves against Mother Nature and the dangers of the road, all for a chance to see the world from the seat of a two-wheeled iron steed. A road warrior must approach biking in the same manner as a good soldier, because just like your military counterparts, you will always face plenty of real and potentially dangerous situations every time you're on the road. These include bad weather, animals, road conditions, pedestrians, and other vehicles that share the road with you. I suggest we apply the soldier's way of life to our riding experience by following these few simple rules. 1. Get basic training. 2. Get to know your equipment. 3. Keep your equipment in good running order. 4. Be prepared. Like the good soldier who carries his 50-pound pack, it's a good idea to carry proper riding gear, tools, and other essentials, including a cell phone, credit card, and at least $5 cash. 5. Just as a good soldier follows instructions given to him by his superiors, we need to follow our instructions too. Know the law and follow it. By doing this, you are less likely to encounter traffic tickets, higher insurance rates, and possible impoundment of your bike. 6. And lastly, keep a cool head. A trained soldier always keeps his cool, no matter what is coming at him. You can't think clearly when you're angry. And speaking of clear thinking, a good soldier would never face the enemy under the influence of drugs and alcohol, and neither should you. Ride sober. So to all of you, fellow road warriors, God bless, ride safe, and we'll see you out on the road.
When you want the latest news and information related to the Canadian motorcycling scene, then turn to BeltDriveBetty.com, your trusted source for all things motorcycling. BeltDriveBetty.com, serving the Canadian motorcycling scene since 2003.
Welcome back to the fifth and final segment of the show. We start things off with rallies and runs, where we briefly cover tours, rides, and events and more. Walt, what's happening?
Well, on the 22nd of May, the Dragon's Last Ride fundraiser happens in Mount Lake Terrace, Washington. So if you're anywhere around the Seattle area, come on out and support the Pediatric Sarcoma Foundation. on June 1st through 3rd, Reno, Nevada, Street Vibration Spring Rally. It's not looking like I'm going to make it, but I want to.
I know you do. Mondo's got an open invitation for you to stop by a shop.
That's it. And then on June 9th through 17th is when my wife wants to go to Laconia Motorcycle Week because she's from Laconia. And so I want to go, too, just because I want to see actual motorcycles in that little – that is actually – that's where that they – well – not Laconia, but next door in Gilmanton,
right,
is where they actually wrote Peyton Place and did the TV show Peyton Place.
Oh.
But at any rate, on July 14th is actual Dragon's Last Ride, Emerald City Harley-Davidson. Sign in at 9, and they're saying kickstands up at 9:30, it turns out now. If you need more information, www.dragonslastride.org. And then there's Sturgis, of course.
Yes.
Which I don't have the actual dates on, but, you know, it's the beginning of August, first week of August. August 29th through September 2nd is the Harley-Davidson 115th anniversary celebration in Milwaukee. And they have a tradition that they started in 2003. They bring out number one. That was their century, right? 2003.
Right.
And this was number one, the first Harley ever built. And they start it. And they started it in 2008, and they started it in 2013. They're going to start it in 2015.
Oh, very good. Well, it's kind of like what Dale was talking about, starting these old bikes. That's amazing.
Just to say, this is a century old bike. This one will be a century and 15.
Well, I've got a recall notice. U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission announced that American Honda is recalling 65,000. That's 65,000. Pioneer 1000 side-by-side vehicles due to a fire and burn hazard. The muffler can overheat, causing the plastic heat shield to melt or catch fire, posing a fire and burn hazard to consumers. This recall involves model years 2016, 2017, and some of 2018. It's the Honda Pioneer 1000 vehicle. So if you got one of those, they should be contacting you, but sometimes people move, they lose contact with you. Check it out with your dealership. They've had 22 reports of muffler plastic heat shield melting and 3 reports of muffler plastic heat shield fires. No injuries reported. So these things happen. And the ATVs, they have a lot of plastic on them. And, yes, they get very hot. We've had the same thing with the Polaris has the issues. You typically don't see that a lot on the motorcycles because they got metal parts, but especially where the mufflers go. But, folks, you know, I just want to let you know, stay safe. There was a great article, I might pull it up next week, about loud pipes that I came across in Canada, and how the townships are actually really up in arms, and they're going to do a lot that they can to kind of squelch some of that. So, but we'll talk about that next week a little more in detail, because, you know, Walt likes loud pipes.
Well, most places they're actually motorcycle friendly will allow anything up to legal.
Yes.
So there's our music. Remember, this is Walt.
I'm Steve.
Remember, wherever you happen to be looking is where you'll happen to find yourself riding. So always look where you want to go. And we'll see you out on the road.